Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Wednesday, March 29th, 2017. It's 5:30 in the morning in LA, and I have to say, I hope you're getting this. I think Blog Talk today is a little bit more on cue. There might be a few changes. I'm sure it's to streamline the station. Yesterday we had a big hiccup, but today we're right back on track, thank God. And it goes right into our relationship Wednesday theme of things changing. Why do we get scared when circumstances change in our relationships? And yesterday it was changing with my relationship with Blog Talk Radio, but you know, I still kept trying. I knew there was a way to get in. I just had to find it, and it worked. And I realized that if I have the phone number pasted into my phone, as opposed to just waiting to get on, I can always call in, even though their station might be down. The phones will always work, but the internet may not. So good to know, good information to have. When you look for the answers and you ask, there's always an answer. Just somewhere in there's going to be an answer. So here we go today, because today's show is one of those subtle shows when we get scared, when circumstances change. And, you know, do you ever see your partner and you go, oh, something's changed. Oh, their energy's different. And they didn't tell you, and you might ask them, and they'll say, no, I'm fine. And they don't even know yet that something has changed. And it makes you realize how huge and how big our pictures are for each of us. But we get so scared about what that's going to mean for us. Because relationships are challenging enough already. It's not that they're bad. They're just challenging because the reason we have them is to grow. We look at it as, this is my life's partner, we should never disagree, we should always be the same. And that's what we think that perfect love will bring us, or what that perfect love does. And really, love just, it pushes and pulls you along the way. And it tells you, hey, you know what? You could do this. Hey, you know what? You could do that. But, oh, maybe I won't because of my partner. Maybe I won't because they're going to get upset. But then if you do that the whole time, you're never going to learn. You're never going to grow. Does it mean you don't love your partner anymore? No way. Probably means you love them enough to know that you can try something new and they will still be there. And you will still be there. But people get scared. We learn to flex and grow with time, and then we fall into patterns that keep us thriving in our lives together and separately. Patterns, that connection that we made, built into routines, and the thing that we're really facing is the upset of the routines and survival of those upsets. Because it's how we deal with those changes that give us the foundation to continue growing so that our lives don't stagnate because of each other. Because really, if you don't put in those changes and you don't allow for each other's growth, what's going to happen? You're going to do it separately through work or through something else, and then you're going to grow apart because now you didn't want to change anything at home to upset anything at home, but you built a whole life outside of your house. I've seen that happen more times than I can tell you. And you hear it when people say, we grew apart. You guys made a choice somewhere in this relationship to not grow together. Because the one thing that's going to happen is your soul is going to continue to grow forever and ever and ever. So if you guys make a decision to not make changes or growing or learning new things in your relationship together, then the two of you aren't going to exchange as much energy until you don't even have anything to exchange. And then you wonder why you feel like you don't know them anymore. And it's not that you don't know them anymore. What's true is you've done no growing with them. anymore. Doesn't mean you're on a constant fast track. It just means that your lives together will only grow when you do together the things that grow your soul. Even a disagreement, an argument, having enough passion, having enough wish to be together and to care about each other in that way. Just having that keeps your relationship alive. Those discussions give you insight, gives you the wherewithal to know where you stand in life, and it brings out those passionate feelings you have that define who you are, that define what you want. I used to pride myself on not having disagreements because I was such a people pleaser. I went all the way to the edge, make sure we were fine. But now if something itches my brain and says, Nadia, you need to learn this. You need to talk about this. Those are the hardest things for me to do. But they're also the glue that keeps people together, is knowing that whatever comes to mind, they can share that. Station, they're not just there to make everybody happy. They're there to grow, and through that growth, find happiness. So many new definitions to the old things that we were taught that literally got us in trouble over and over again. And in the meantime, us thinking we are doing the right thing. People call me on the regular basis saying we had a big disagreement. We need help. They think of me during the disagreement. But in the bigger picture, I'm really happy it's me they thought of, because I'm not going to try to fix the disagreement of today. What I'm going to fix is how they feel about a disagreement and what they do with that disagreement. Because me on my end, I get happy. I rub my hands together and I go, wow, what a great opportunity for them to have this tool. Because this tool of understanding that they will disagree, but why and what's behind it, is a great sign that they trust each other enough to disagree and see, hey, you know what? This is what I want. This is what you want. How do we do this? How do we do this? And then they talk about it. And then they know each other better. And then they respect each other more. Until the next time. And then the next time they'd be like, hey, you know what? We've been through this before and we were successful. So let's see what happens this time. And before you know it, they just have discussions. They don't need to have blowouts. They don't need to run to someone for help. I think one of the goals that I learned from Christ, and it's a big one, every day ends as it should. You will learn what you need to at the capacity you are at. Some people are in the beginning of a relationship. Some people are in the middle. Some people are at the end. But to Christ, all of them are fine, as long as you are learning. We have just been taught longevity. We have been taught the longer the better person you are, the better person they are, the less turnover you have in your life. But really, we have been taught longevity, but we haven't been given the tools for longevity. We've been told that love will take care of that, if it's real. And then when people have a disagreement, they start wondering, is this real love? Oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Am I bad? Oh, I don't want to tell anybody. And then you don't tell anybody, so nobody can help you or give you a clear perspective of bad. Then we start to hold it in because we don't want to have the problem. But there's so much more to us. And now we know that. I remember Christ telling me, every day ends as it should. And I'm like, are you sure at the end of some of those days? Not to question Christ, but shoot, I didn't know what to think other than that. Because I didn't know how to think in the big picture. If there's one class I would teach at a high school level, it would be looking at the bigger picture. Because to look at the bigger picture in your life, in your relationships, you have to have truth and love and purity in mind to realize and to support and to grow a bigger picture in your life, period, let alone with somebody else. So under the blanket of the bigger picture are the three main components of all of our lives. We may like somebody. We may be interested in somebody. We may be in the stage of meeting somebody. But instead of being scared that that person is not there or is there, what's more important is that you understand why you are there. And really, they're preparing us to meet the person we're going to meet. So now we've had a run through. We've had some practice. Or it might be that person, and circumstances might not have been right today, but they will be in a month from now, or 2 weeks from now, or even a year from now, or even 10 years for the woman who had those dreams of that man that we have kind of been following. It's getting really interesting now. I'll touch on that tomorrow, but what's happening is that patience and trust that if you don't act now, it's gone. If you don't act now and it's gone, then it wasn't meant for right now, or it would have happened. I've seen things happen against all odds, and I've seen planned things not work out right away. Because we're learning to get comfortable with ourselves. We're learning to prepare to be in a relationship at times. We're learning how to have a voice and discuss instead of be fearful that something might go wrong, because if you have that fear, anything can go wrong and you'll fall apart. But the bigger picture that, hey, I'm here to grow you and you're here to grow me, and we chose each other to do that. Let's see what life throws at us. That's a whole different attitude than when we're not going to know who we are. I don't want to disagree with you. Disagree with someone. Let the truth be what runs your relationship. Let the trust of love know that you can make it through it. We are living, breathing organisms. We're here for what feels like a good long time. Trust that there is a plan for your soul. And when you meet people, say, wow, I was supposed to meet this person, and this person maybe didn't finish teaching me, but is teaching me now how to be a bigger, stronger version of myself each and every day. There are no mistakes. When Christ said that saying something is a mistake, is masking purity that made us say it was a mistake. How many stories have we told others about things we thought were mistakes? And then later said, wow, if it weren't for that mistake, I wouldn't have done this, and then I wouldn't have met her or him. We've all by now had a story like that. Sometimes we meet people and they become the best friends we've had. Who was my neighbor in Chicago, was my first boyfriend. I was 15 years old. He lived next door to us. He was at my house all the time. And he asked me out, and I just said, okay. Nobody asked me out yet. And going out, meaning that your boyfriend and girlfriend, but you haven't gone anywhere. You're like 15 and you live in the suburbs of Chicago. And I just had lunch with him this past week for my birthday. But after being with him for 2 weeks, and I know we were 15, but we probably were clearer than we were when we got older. But each other, you know what? We're too close. We're like brother and sister. you've slept over. I've seen your parents scream at you and punish you and make you stay home because you wouldn't get home for dinner on time and all these things. And we were really laughing about who we used to be. I mean, it lasted a good 2 weeks. Maybe we didn't make it that far. But we became lifelong friends. I knew him since I was 6 years old. He lived in Chicago. I lived here. And I had a girlfriend named Lisa, the woman that's blind that kind of guides me. At the time, she could still see. She could still work. Her blindness didn't take over her entire eyesight yet. One day, she had come over, and I looked at her, and I go, oh, my God. If Lisa and Todd met, worst case scenario, they would be great friends. And on that premise, I asked her if she would like to meet Todd. And then I called Todd after I knew Lisa was giving me a green light and said, would you like? He said, well, tell me about her. And I told him. And I said, but Todd, if this goes any further, you cannot take Lisa and bring her to Chicago because then I'll be losing both of you. And right now you're there and she's here. So now we're at a 50-50 split. But you got to work out here. I'll help you find a job. I'll help you do this. I'll help you do that. But you can't take her to Chicago. He said, okay. So I said, well, next time you're in town, because he traveled a lot. Well, he didn't wait for a next time. He was here 2 weeks later. And they met at my house for dinner. They left hand in hand. A month later, they were engaged. 6 months later, I flew to Chicago for the wedding. And they have truly, now they've been married about 22 years. I think that's what they hit last July. They have two children. And we laughed and we said, isn't that funny what we thought then and how hard it was for us to tell each other the truth about, you know, we don't think this is what we're supposed to be doing, but we knew that we were attached. And I said to him just 2 days ago, Todd, you are closer to me than my brothers. I see you. I talk to you regularly. You helped me raise my kids, you and Lisa, when I was single and working and making ends meet in that way when my kids were younger. I said, we just didn't know it was with other people and kids that weren't ours. But isn't that funny how when you're young you think that? And then I thought, wait a minute, when we're old, we think that too. If we haven't grown, we don't realize that there is a bigger picture. When I first saw Christ, he was one of the first people to tell me, I believe you. And I wasn't even looking for someone to tell me, I believe you. I couldn't even believe myself. But he was one of those people. He had read a book that was an old book from like the 60s or early 70s called Seth Speaks. And he said, I heard about this stuff before. And he had all this information because I'd never cracked a book on the topic. I never knew that this was going on anywhere. The deer in headlights. But look at what the purpose of that, what we thought was going to be our lifelong relationship, turned out to be our lifelong relationship. It just wasn't the way we thought it was going to be. So we have to have faith that there is a bigger picture, no matter where we are today, not to get stressed over it or not, but to say, I am going to do my best today, and what's mine will show up as a result of that. That little control thing where we try to make it happen, whatever it is, just puts pressure on you, situation, on everything around you. But I call them these bigger picture conversations. When you can have a bigger picture conversation, when you can do that, you understand your own role in relationships with other people.
because you do it with yourself first. You say, you know what? I'm here. Five now. This is what I've done so far in my life. I'm not upset about any of it. I get it. And this is what I'd like to do. So far that I know of. For the growth that I have today, this is where I would like to see myself. Because I still want to try this, try that, do this, do that. And then after that, I'll see where that, towards the end of my life in the relationship, I would really like to have a nice, quiet one. I hope my partner and I grow into that solid feeling of just knowing the other one will always be there, no matter what, no matter why, no matter how. And you will start to find or feel that in the people that are already in your life, or if you're in that process of looking. Times we meet somebody and they wake us up and we think that they're the one, but really they just woke us up. That was their job. They came here to wake you up. And because you woke up, you're able to find that in everybody else. You're able to see that when you're looking for a partner. But I want somebody to grow within my life. A lot of times we just think what other people want and we forget what we want. And then we start feeling lost in the relationship and it's nobody's fault. But we start to think, well, because I married this person, because I'm dating this person, I haven't done this for a long time and I really want to do it. My biggest first big change in your circumstance and in your feelings is to say, you know what? I want to take dance classes at night. It's only two nights a week. I would love it if you join me. But if you don't want to, is it okay with me, with myself, if I can just do it instead of feel like, well, they don't want to do it, so I'm not going to do it. Because when you do that and you go out and you come home, you're both thriving because that's saying that you both understand the need for growth. That growth, that paying attention to your details shouldn't have to feel like it's you or the relationship. When we understand the bigger picture, it is the relationship. I see Liam wrote in the chat, breaking the stride feels like we've broken rhythm and we've really just changed direction. It's not a race, it's an exploration. Yes? Yes, we are explorers of life. We are constant change. I remember when I first started, when Christ first started talking to me about change, and I thought, but we're taught not to change. And I was one of those people. I wanted to be stable. My dad would wake up every single day, same time, go to work, same day, stay until 9 o'clock at night, come home, sleep. I wanted to be that regular. That's one of the things I loved about him. But times have changed. We have changed. We have evolved out of that era. And even with my dad's schedule, my mom pushed their growth constantly. And because of that, they thrived all the way till the end. They did everything together. They shopped together, visited people together. My mom would work at the store when she was younger, and then, you know, having six kids got to be too much, and the kids went to the store, and my mom would stay home and manage the house. Finding a way to grow. With a third and fourth grade education, they taught me that intellect had nothing to do with level of education. It's amazing how much has evolved since then. But they knew that there was a bigger picture. They saw the value that they brought to each other. And they honored it. And I'm telling you, there were a couple of huge, knockdown, dragged-out arguments that I can remember, but they're the only two I really remember. Anything else, I think, made it behind closed doors. But those two made it, like, right in our face. And I remember me and my brothers hiding behind the door and we didn't even know divorce existed, but a lady down the street moved into a smaller house on our block because she had just gotten divorced. So we realized, me and my brothers and sisters, that that could actually happen because we didn't know anybody who was divorced. And we were hiding behind the door listening to them argue, and it was mostly in Arabic, so we were trying to keep up. But I remember us saying, oh, my God, do you think we're going to be kids with divorced mom and divorced dad? We were scared to death back there. But then they finally saw each other's point, and we heard them. We heard them resolve it. And when we heard them resolve it, we couldn't even talk. Instead of keeping the door cracked open so we could hear it, not realizing we could hear it if we closed the door too, because it was that loud, we did close the door, and we all just sat in that little corner together, so relieved that we weren't going to be separated like what we saw down our block. That was before they had all the rules of divorce, because divorce wasn't that common then. But that bigger picture is what keeps us together. Hey, we built a family. Hey, this is what's going on. Not losing sight that an argument is a growth. Turning around what we've been taught all this time. I see Francis wrote in there that it was puppy love, that one relationship. It was. It was like, you know, we were still kids. We had no idea. But we learned. And to think that I've known him since 6 years old, so 49 years later. And from 15, let's say 40 years later. Both sitting in California. We were neighbors in Chicago. Saying, can you believe that this is what was behind the love we felt? And he said to me, it's the purest love I'd ever felt in my life. I said, yeah, we never really did want anything. We were too young to want anything. But we never left the friendship. And we ended up being vital in each other's lives in ways that we couldn't have even imagined. Because we just didn't see it before, but we made it. And Liam writes, I think as a mom or anyone who is single and wants to see a daughter or anyone we love find the right person, objectivity, we can see what's right for us. Maybe we take our own advice. Taking our own advice is probably one of the biggest things Christ taught me, because that was the last thing I did. I took my advice last and everybody else's advice first, because I wanted everyone to be happy with me. I wanted my family to be happy with me. I wanted my kids to be happy with me. But I became a better mother and a better daughter and a better friend when I trusted myself to take my own advice. Nobody has the power to be with you 24 hours a day except for you. So you have to have your own back and trust that you will be okay, and not to fear loss over being who you are. You guys, I have 12 seconds. I love you so very much. I got a ton of dreams for tomorrow. So I will see you then. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.